Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And with those words, the Apostle Paul praises our great God as he begins his letter to the Ephesian believers. And Paul had a lot for which to praise God for. His fellow believers in Christ in Ephesus, they had a lot to praise God for as well. And we today, here in Norwoodville, Iowa, we have much for which to praise God. Consider this. God has blessed us not with just some spiritual blessings, but God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And these are not just temporary blessings that come and go in this natural world. No, these are blessings that are never-ending in their impact. These blessings are not bound by the limitations of life on this earth. They are sourced from heaven above, from the eternal God who sits on his throne. And among the many spiritual blessings that we as believers are blessed with is the amazing reality that God chose us in Jesus before he ever created this world. He chose to change us from guilty sinners, sinners that fully deserved eternal death. He changed us from those sinners to ones who are holy and blameless. That's what God chose to do. He chose to make us righteous before him, to make us like his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's a spiritual blessing, if there is any, right? What an incredible spiritual blessing that is. And how much we should be praising God for that. God chose me. He chose me. Why did he choose me? I don't know, but he chose me, and I'm thankful for that, and I praise him for that. But there are so many other spiritual blessings in addition to that. God predestined us, again, even before he created this world, he predestined us to be adopted into his family. According to God's perfect will, God was pleased to make us his sons. This was only possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now we today, as we're gathered together, there are some Kramers here, there are some Gates here, there's Carters and Wilcoxes, and we may very well have some pride in our family heritage, and that's good as long as it's a godly pride. But how much more should we be glorying in God's goodness to us in making us part of his family? We are children of God. How much better is that than being a child of our earthly fathers, as great as that is. But we are children of God. It's amazing. We must praise God for that. God has bestowed abundant, super abundant grace upon us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's because of Jesus that Paul is able to bless God, even as he does in the beginning of Ephesians. It's because of Jesus that God chose us and predestined us to life eternal. It's in Jesus that we have redemption. We have been bought with his precious blood. Jesus paid the price of our sin, the sin that we ourselves committed, and we earned death, but Jesus paid that price. Because Jesus died, we have the forgiveness of sins. And again, this is all because of God's grace, his favor toward us, abundant favor, favor that we do not deserve in the slightest. It was by God's grace that he gave his adopted children, he gave us vast wisdom and vast understanding. So before we came to know Jesus, we were foolish, we were ignorant. But after we came to know Jesus, we had a supernatural insight into eternal matters. God made known to us as believers the mystery of his will. He revealed truth that had been hidden in ages past. So we think of Paul, we think of the Ephesians, we think of us today. God made known to us what the future holds. In the end, all things will find completion in Jesus Christ. God is going to restore all things. He will make them perfect. And this will only be done because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We have so much to praise God for. So many blessings in Jesus. How incredible is our God. And how great is His plan through Jesus Christ. We have so much to praise Him for. Our God is great, and He is greatly to be praised. And Paul's praise to God in that first chapter of Ephesians, it continues on in verse 11. So I read verses 1 through 10 to begin the sermon. Now look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Our verse begins with the word in whom. We're jumping right into the context here. But the in whom is referring back to Jesus Christ. Made very clear in the previous verse. It is in Christ that God will gather together all things in the end times, the things that are in heaven, the things that are on earth. It is in Jesus that there will be ultimate union and harmony in God's creation. Now earlier, still in verse 7, we read that it is in Jesus there's redemption, there's the forgiveness of sins, and now we read in our current verse, verse 11, we read that in whom, in Jesus, there is something more to be found. But what is it that we find in Jesus in this current verse? And as I read in the King James, and as perhaps as you have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter 1 and you're looking at verse 11, you'd say, well, it's quite easy to know what we have in Jesus. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We as believers have obtained an inheritance. And that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? You think of what God has given to us in Jesus. Paul has already talked about the innumerable spiritual blessings that we have. In Christ, there are unfathomable riches that we may claim as our own. And if we'd flip on over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear sons. He has made us fit or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So there is no denying that God has given us very much in Jesus Christ. But going back to that word or that phrase that we see in verse 11 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, what is translated, we have obtained an inheritance, if you'd study that out a little bit more in depth, you'd realize there's more than one way of understanding the underlying Greek word there. Yes, it could be referring to the inheritance that God has given to us, because we are in Christ, but it also may mean that we, as the church, as believers in Jesus, we are God's inheritance. We are God's possession. Let's talk about this for just a little while more. So this verb in verse 11, it's only used once in the New Testament. And it can be translated, as many English versions have translated it, but also it can be translated in a different way, having the idea of appointing someone or appointing something, and a lot of times it's connected with the idea of appointing someone or something by lot. And at first it may seem, well, that doesn't quite fit the context here in Ephesians chapter 1, but upon second thought, it seems to make quite good sense that we have that something has been appointed. Even we have been appointed. So could Paul be saying that he, as well as the Ephesians, as they were in Jesus Christ, they have been appointed by lot as God's own possession? Could he be saying that because of all that Jesus has done for them, because they are now in Him, not that they have received an inheritance from God, although that's very true, but rather they are God's inheritance? We go and we jump ahead in chapter 1 of Ephesians and we look at verse 18, and it seems as if this thought of we being God's inheritance is reinforced. Because you look at verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So Paul prayed that the Ephesian believers would come to know the extent of the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So who is the His here as far as the His inheritance in the saints? I submit to you that it is God that has an inheritance in the saints. We are God's possession, a very precious possession. Now, it may seem strange that God has an inheritance in the saints, but as we consider what Paul says here, it does seem to make sense. And even looking earlier, what did Paul say? We have redemption in Jesus Christ, don't we? Well, what does it mean to be redeemed? It means that we've been bought. We've been bought by Jesus' precious blood. God has acquired us for himself. So the idea of God possessing believers, possessing them as his own, that's found not just in Ephesians, it's found all throughout the scriptures. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are not our own. God has bought us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are his. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. We could go to the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And Paul tells the Ephesian elders that Jesus bought the church of God, even with his own blood. We go to Revelation chapter 5 verse 9. We have a song of praise to God. It is Jesus who is the one who redeemed or bought for God people from every group on this earth. Every tongue and nation, and the list goes on. The church is God's possession. It is his precious inheritance. Couldn't be any other way, really, because we have been bought with the precious blood of his own son. God delivered us from the realm of Satan, and now we are his own. God's own. The church is God's precious possession. But the church is not God's only precious possession. So God has appointed us as believers. He has appointed us as his own inheritance, his own precious possession. But if we go back in history, we realize that God did something similar with another group of people, and that is Israel. God chose or appointed Israel to be his own possession as well. We go back to Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 29. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by thy mighty power and by thy stretched out arm. You see some comparisons here. And keep in mind, as I'll make very clear later on, I'm not saying Israel and the church are the same. They are not the same. But God has redeemed both of them. God has purchased both of them, and both of them are God's possession. They are God's inheritance. So of Israel, it says, your people, they are your people, they are your inheritance. We could go to Deuteronomy 32, verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. God has an inheritance. It's Israel, but it is also the church. Now, I'm not equating Israel and the church, as I mentioned before. Some would say, well, the church has, in essence, replaced Israel. But I do not agree with that. I believe as we study the scriptures, there is Israel and there is the church. They have a number of things in common, like they're both God's inheritance, but they are not the same entity. There are two groups that are God's inheritance. The first is Israel, the second is the church, and both of them are very precious in God's eyes. Now, going back to our passage in Ephesians, Paul is praising God for innumerable spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ, because in Christ there is redemption, and in Christ God has appointed his church as his inheritance. And notice, this appointing was not by luck, it wasn't by chance, it was according to God's predestination. God determined beforehand that we would be his, that we would be his inheritance. And this determination of God was not a haphazard decision. It wasn't something on the fly. It was in accordance with his own purpose. You think about the one who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. God is the one who determined, even before the world began, that believers in Jesus Christ, including you and I, if you've trusted in Jesus, we would be God's special possession, his precious inheritance. Isn't that incredible to consider that we are God's inheritance? That's incredible to even think about. Now, God has a perfect plan. He has a purpose that is amazing. So God has a purpose even for all of creation, and he had that purpose before he ever created any of it. So you think about all the events of time. There are so many past events of time. There are the present events, and then there's future events. And all of these have been and will be fulfilled according to God's purpose. And part of God's plan involves him redeeming us, redeeming the church by Jesus' own blood, and taking the church as his own possession, his inheritance. That's a great plan. That's a wonderful plan. And, you know, who are we that we should be God's inheritance? But this is God's plan, and it is being brought to completion. You think about Paul's words in Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. To be appointed by God as his inheritance, that's a wonderfully good thing. You know, what better thing could we hope for than to be called God's possession or his inheritance? So to be his inheritance, to be redeemed, to be forgiven, justified, glorified, all of this redounds to God's glory. And Paul goes on to say in verse 12 that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So we don't want to have a big head here and think, well, I am God's inheritance. And how special am I? And I must have been so good that God would choose me to be his own inheritance. We don't want to get a big head. We don't want to be thinking too much of ourselves, because all the glory goes to God. We don't deserve any of the glory, do we? All the glory goes to God, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. God appointed men and women like you and I that we would be his own, and he did this to bring glory, great glory, to himself. Now, we are very blessed, and we don't want to overlook the blessings, but we don't want to be so consumed with the blessings that we receive that we don't give glory to God and see what God is doing for himself, because God did all of this to give glory to himself, to exalt his name. To be God's inheritance, yes, means that we are blessed beyond measure, but God's primary purpose and our primary response should be that we want God to receive all the glory. So we as the church, we must praise God for the thing that he has done. All of creation indeed praises God for the glorious thing that he is doing in this world. Again, we can make a comparison between Israel and the church, keeping in mind they're two separate entities. But think about this. God chose Israel as a special possession. God chose the church as a special possession. We as the church, as God's inheritance, we are chosen so that we might give glory to God, so that God is glorified, right? So that he is praised. Well, how about for Israel? What's God's intention here? That God would receive great praise and honor and glory. And so we read this in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Again, we read in Isaiah 43, verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. So God's speaking of Israel. I formed them for myself so that I will be praised. Well, we can think of in similar terms we as the church. Once more in Jeremiah 13, verse 11, for as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. We think of Israel. God is not done with Israel yet. God is still going to receive great glory as he brings Israel to a good end. Israel is God's special possession. Israel still is that special possession, and so much is in store for Israel. And the church is God's special possession. We need to desire to give him all the glory for what he's doing here, and God will receive that glory. So Paul talks about those who first trusted in Christ, those who first set their hope in him. These ones are an everlasting testimony to God's goodness and his grace and his wisdom, his power, his sovereignty, his all of these things. They give glory and praise to God. These ones who have first trusted in Christ, they became God's own special treasure because of their belief in Jesus. Now, there's so much more that Paul has to say here about these ones who first trusted in Christ, but next week, Lord willing, we'll look at those verses. But so much to just marvel at here in the first chapter of Ephesians. Along with Paul, along with the Ephesians, along with men and women who have trusted in Christ in the centuries past, millennia past, may we today, in this place, lift up our voices and our hearts in praise to God. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's amazing. It's mind-boggling. Paul talks about those who have first trusted in Christ. Well, we today, we've trusted in Christ. At least I hope we have. And if you haven't, I hope that you will soon. But we are to the praise of God's glory. Think of this. We, as ones who have trusted in Christ, we are a living fulfillment of God's eternal plan. We are a special treasure to God. We have been redeemed by the blood of his own Son. Now, how could we be anything but a special treasure to God? Because of the price that has been paid. So we have so much to praise God for today. So this evening, tomorrow, if we're at the fair or whatever we're doing tomorrow, the next day, let us continually be thinking about all the blessings God has showered upon us, what it means to be part of God's church, what it means to have trusted in Christ. And yes, how we benefit immensely from this, but above all, God did all this for us so that His name would be exalted. He alone is God. He alone deserves the glory. Truly, our God is great. He is greatly to be praised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your greatness. We desire to praise You in proportion to Your greatness. And I pray that by Your grace we would do that. And we look forward to that day when we see Jesus face to face and our praise will be unhindered by any semblance of sin. We look forward to that day. But until that day, I pray that we would be continually devoting ourselves to You, submitting to this Holy Spirit, that we'd be just pondering upon the person of Your Son Jesus, Your own person, the great work that You have done on Your behalf. And again, You have done it for Your glory. So help us to stand in awe of You, to praise You, recognizing You've done a great thing in buying us, redeeming us, giving us new life and hope. Again, we thank You. And this evening, as we remember in a special way our Lord Jesus, we stand in awe of Your love for us in Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus that we have all of these spiritual blessings. Again, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.